Are we...
Yeah, whenever you're ready. Great. You go for it.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about the first few episodes of the 8th series of Doctor Who with the new actor Peter Capaldi and Clara, I guess.
We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Tim Wick.
I slept in today.
And Molly Glover.
I'm here, too.
And we are going to talk today about the 8th series of Doctor Who, the 13th?
Capaldi, 12.
Peter Capaldi.
Well,
he's 12.
The question marketh incarnation of Doctor Who.
Because there's the War Doctor, and we don't know where that fits in.
He's technically 12.
And it's been said, we don't know if we've missed regenerations in between as well. But,
The
most recent incarnation of Doctor Who, which is
played by Peter Capaldi.
Peter Capaldi.
Eyebrows Doctor.
Eyebrows. Angry Eyebrows Doctor.
Angry Eyebrows Doctor.
Do you have to do a spoiler warning?
Yeah, we're gonna spoil. So Tim has only seen the first three episodes.
Out of five. Five that have been
five
aired
or six.
By now.
Deep breaths
six,
into
I think.
The Dalek, and I wrote down Robert of Sherwood, but it's Robot of Sherwood.
Into the Dalek, which sounds really dirty.
And then Molly and I have seen the one after that, The Time Heist.
And there's two on the DVR,
and then
so there's been six so far.
I think there's two more after that, maybe one more, yeah.
So we're not completely...
Yeah.
Spoiling the first half.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't want spoilers for the new season of Doctor Who, just go and do some nerdy thing and don't listen to this podcast.
I'm going to tell you right now, there's not a whole lot of Doctor Who based spoilers.
Oh my God.
Like some Monster of the Week type spoilers, but it's not like, there's not like canon spoilers really going on these first three episodes. So
let's talk about like initial impressions of Peter Capaldi, the actor, because I feel like, why start on a negative note?
Actor like before Who or as?
As the Doctor, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with Peter Capaldi before.
Yeah, I love him. I love his version of Doctor Who, and I think he's a welcome change from the past three younger, more handsomey.
Yeah, sure.
Love interest kind of guys.
He's not like a heartthrob. Not that, I stand by the statement. Matt Smith looks like Frankenberry.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at, side by side.
He definitely got better looking as he got more
I think
money.
It's like a bright light. Your eyes just got used to it. But, yeah, it's back to the way it used to be where... Doctor Who is played by an actor that's older than me and not something that feels weird.
And he's Scottish, which is
awesome.
He's Scottish. And they're letting him be Scottish.
Right.
As opposed to David Tennant, who is not permitted to be Scottish.
Right.
It's the first... I think it's the first time a doctor's... will be corrected, I'm sure, if I'm wrong.
Sylvester McCoy?
Was he outright Scottish?
I don't know.
I have no familiarity. It's been a while since I've watched my Sylvester McCoy. So Matt Zavicle, I'm sure, will comment and tell us that we're wrong.
So Angry Eyebrows, he is a brusque guy.
Yes.
He tells
Claire she's fat and ugly all the time, like in really like backhanded ways.
Yes. I hate that that's one of my favorite things because I'm not a Clara fan post-Impossible Girl. You know,
yeah,
she did her part. Now why is she here still? But
well, it seems clear that that's what the writers don't understand. They don't know what to do with her. When I see something like that, when I see a character that was interesting when she was first introduced, who ceases to be interesting, I blame the writers 100%.
Yeah, sure, because it's clearly not the actor because they did their thing before.
The actress is fine. She's doing exactly what she's been given to play. She's playing the character properly. The character just doesn't seem to have a purpose.
No.
I feel that the Boy, the thing with Clara that is a little frustrating to me is they did it in these first three episodes where the episodes are all about her emotions and the emotions she's having. And first, it's great. It's a crossover. And I understand she's going to have emotions about her doctor form leaving and this new doctor form. That makes sense.
The grieving process.
Yeah. Right. But then, we get to the one where it's, Robin of Sherwood, and it's or Robot of Sherwood, whatever. It's
Robert.
I just think it's like spoiler title of Sherwood. I mean, it's,
right.
Yeah. They just give it right out the title, don't they?
But what bugged me about that was where they missed a really great example or a really great opportunity where it could have been Clara always wanted to be Robin Hood, but instead she always wanted to fuck Robin Hood and marry Robin Hood. Of course, it wasn't that she was drawn to the character because the adventure and everything. Nope, she just wanted to be his wife.
She just thought he was hot.
So it's just more her having a moony relationship with another guy who we know won't be there past this episode.
the other trope that I hate is that I tweeted about this too. It's according to Doctor Who, 90% of Britain's important historical or mythological figures were aliens and or robots or Doctor Who himself.
Yeah.
And it's Robin Hood. Oh, yeah, robot. Jack the Ripper. Oh, he was not only an alien, but he was also a robot. But also, at one point, he was the Doctor himself. The bad incarnation from the future, whose name I can't remember, he was Jack the Ripper. So was the robot guy in the one of the first episodes.
Well, I understand.
Into the Dalek,
but he was not... Jack, if you're talking about the first episode of this series, episode one, that was not Jack the Ripper, because that was a very different set of murders.
Yeah, but it was still a serial killer.
Organ extractor on the streets of Victorian London.
Jack the Ripper.
He's not Jack the Ripper.
But they've done
Jack the Ripper before. I mean, although you have to kind of forgive Doctor Who, it's a British series that's been running for 30 plus years. They're gonna get to pretty much every single English historical
figure. That is true.
Or miss a lot of them.
Or I don't know, write something new.
Hey, there we go. What if we had an episode of Doctor Who that took place not on Earth or anything to do with historical Earth? And in fact, explored the
vast galaxy.
Vast and infinite universe and all the time it encompasses. Instead, Albion and on and on and on. That's just...
No, personally.
But what if King Arthur was a robot?
I think they've done King Arthur.
Probably several times.
Guinevere.
I like Capaldi. I've only seen the first three. I like that Capaldi is kind of the character is questioning whether or not he's a good man.
Sure.
Which has been a theme that's run, I think, through a lot of Moffat is, is the Doctor doing good? We always assume he's a hero, and yet there are a lot of results of his actions that are not necessarily heroic.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely. There's lots of things. I mean, I liked that whole. It was a Matt Smith episode, but the name Doctor means death dealer in every other planet in the entire universe except for Earth, where it means helper or healer, but everywhere else it means warmonger or destroyer or soldier or horrible thing that it's associated with death.
Wait, you and I have actually, Molly, we've seen five episodes.
Yeah.
Because first there was Deep Breath, which was the organ harvesting robots trying to get to paradise.
Right. Yep.
Then the second one was the second one was Into the Dalek, which is inner space with the Dalek.
Yeah.
And the third one was Robot of Sherwood.
Spoilers of Sherwood.
And then the fourth one was Listen, which was hey guys, remember how creepy Weeping Angels were? Let's try to do the same thing with monsters under the bed.
And then
the fifth one was Time Heist, which was the
bank
best one of the season.
Time Heist was good. Yeah, that was a really good episode. So if you guys, if you've seen that, Tim, when you get to that one, I think that'll be the one where you're like, all right, this is great.
And that's because Clara has nothing to do in the... She's like... she's background.
She is.
And the other characters are new and interesting, and it doesn't take place on Earth, and it takes place with all these interesting aliens in a setting. And
yeah, I think there are a couple of problems with Clara. One, I think Amy and Rory were great companions, and I think that when they left, filling that void is difficult. Two, they had an interesting arc for her, and then they didn't know what to do with her when they were done with it.
Yeah.
Right.
And three, in the first few episodes of this new series, they seem more focused on Clara than on the new Doctor, which I think is a bad choice.
Oh.
Agreed.
And her personal life and her dating life and all that.
Yeah. It's like nobody cares.
With Danny Pink.
As the Impossible Girl, she was scattered through his timeline and appeared throughout his entire life.
Yeah.
Right? So she is retcon tied into his entire existence and all his incarnations or regenerations.
Yeah.
In the fourth episode, Listen, she accidentally time travels to when the Doctor is a child and accidentally scares him, and she's the monster under his bed, and she whispers to him something that the first Doctor says about fear, a quote he has about fear in the very first scene.
Yeah,
but it's like, at the same time,
so I lied. I thought we weren't going to do any of those spoilers, but I lied. Sorry, guys.
Fuck you, Molly. but my problem
is, fuck you, listeners.
She's already retconned into the character's entire history and all his regenerations, and they did it again.
Yeah.
Well,
it worked.
If they hadn't done it with an Impossible Girl, or if they had done it with a different companion, I would have been cool with it.
I liked the way they did it.
It just felt like quit trying to make her special by like forcing her to be special to the Doctor.
You know,
make her be special by making her a good and interesting character and doing good things with her.
Yeah,
quit telling me how special she is.
Again, it's a writer issue.
Yes.
And, you know, we're kind of dancing around it because I think, you know, we knew Robots of Sherwood. Before I watched it, I read several people who said they felt it was one of the worst episodes of Doctor Who they'd ever seen.
Yeah.
That's bold.
I went into that with an open mind. I'm like, you know what? I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Boy, were they right. It's a shit-ass episode.
Really boring.
It's so bad.
There's a funny... The
Capaldi being a petulant child is funny to me, but that was about it.
The ha ha ha, the thing, because it's in like every single Robin Hood like ever is his arrogant like ha ha.
Even Jerry Belich did it during the our Avengers parody where he was Robin Hood.
Yeah, when he was Hawkeye Robin Hood. Yeah, ha ha. Because it's like if you're doing a Robin Hood that's not like super grimdark, you're gonna do that at some point.
Yeah,
like
the only one who didn't do that was like Kevin Costner, and that's a shitty Robin Hood.
He didn't even
do
an accent.
Right? He did it for like half the movie.
But I liked that. I thought that was funny. It had funny parts, but it was a bad episode.
I liked him and Capaldi like doing their aggressive teenage boy fighting
the alpha male off.
The alpha male off, the sniping at each other. That was funny, but it wasn't enough to carry the episode. And it was an episode where we both... I can always tell if it's not a good Doctor Who because either we both pick up our phones at some point and we're just and it's just on, or I get up to go get something from the kitchen and I'm like, you can just let it run, you don't need to pause it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't care if I can hear it or not. Doesn't matter.
I was playing Clash of Clans while I was watching it. I was just like, you know, there's nothing here that's interesting me a lot. And there's also the they've got the moment where they like fight the monsters by every single person in the catacombs haven't been able to find a gold plate to reflect their ray guns. And I'm like, really?
It's amazing.
Really? You guys can come up with anything better than that?
Those plates were all really shiny from
the
catacombs.
Fucking legend it up.
Yeah.
They didn't even have to polish them or anything. They were just like that.
Yeah.
They didn't have to dust them off. They were in literally where bones are kept to die. But
they had lots of them. Even though they needed all the gold they could get to launch the spaceship.
Catacomb is actually Latin for gold plate storage.
So, okay.
It's from the Latin catacombs.
There's an overarching theme.
The Vani?
Well, that's my theory, but we'll get there.
The paradise.
The robot seeking paradise.
Robot seeking paradise.
Artificial life forms who have a promised land.
Are looking for heaven. Yeah.
Right.
And they call it the promised land. The phrasing is, it's like Bad Wolf in that promised land is this phrase that keeps popping up for some reason that clearly we're going to get to by the end of the series.
Yeah.
Right. And so the woman that in Deep Breath, the woman that like welcomes the top hat rope steampunk robot into her like little garden.
Yep.
The center of that garden is like the whole garden is round.
Yep.
And the center of it is a round fountain column.
Yeah.
And it's like the layout is just like a TARDIS layout, but it's a garden. But it's like alive.
Okay.
And so all I can think and hope for is the Vani and her TARDIS.
You mean Ronnie.
Ronnie. Right, yes, yes. The Ronnie, who her TARDIS is, what is it, the chameleon circuit?
Every other TARDIS's chameleon circuit works.
Right.
It's just the doctor's that
doesn't. Right, yeah. And his is broken or whatever. But I can't help but to think that garden is... We're seeing the inside of another Time Lord's TARDIS because it's set up so similar.
That's a reasonable.
And it would be bigger on the inside, so it would.
And
seem
it would
like
it
paradise.
Would explain why these characters that were about to die
would go to paradise.
Could get
no matter
could
where
be
they
rescued.
Are.
She'd be
somehow.
Snatching them out of
right at the last moment, but they
time.
Think they died.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
And so, I don't know it
with some sinister anti-doctor purpose.
Well, and the Ronnie, I mean her whole. She's like the like Joseph Mengele,
yes,
like doctor.
Yeah, she's not. She does not. She's not
eugenics Time Lord.
Yeah, she's not. I was gonna say she's not evil the way the Master is evil. She's more like
she's chaotic neutral. She's not evil.
I don't know. Well, she's evil because like she's willing to.
She's
do
willing
do
to
despicable do. Things for her own benefit or gain, but she's not lawful or chaotic necessarily.
She's
I think she's a good neutral evil.
She's a neutral evil as opposed to chaotic evil of the Master.
Right, because she's orderly of thought. She's a scientist. I mean, she clearly has
the Master just wants to watch the world burn.
But she doesn't have any regard for your laws or your chaos. Her goal is the science.
Yeah.
And because it's at any cost, that she is evil.
She's like the doctor and the girl with all the gifts.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And I haven't seen two more episodes, but I presume she shows up again. She didn't show up again at the end of Robots of Sherwood.
She did not appear in Listen or Time Heist.
I don't think she shows up again yet, so...
But she's going to show up again, we
I'm
know
sure.
that.
I'm sure.
Yeah, because it's the, Bad Wolf.
Robots seem to be a theme, which...
Time Heist had...
A cyber-enhanced human who wasn't human anymore.
A man who was... post-human cybernetic brain implants.
Listen didn't have any robots that I can remember, but it might have. And
not that I can remember.
Yeah, somebody mentioned something about there being a lot of robots, and I think they make a mistake with the Daleks of assuming the Daleks are robots.
They're cybernetic.
Yeah, then in that.
Well, in Deep Breath, those robots had organs too.
It is more of maybe there's a lot of cybernetic.
Yeah.
Organisms, creatures.
Well, okay, so if it is cybernetics. It is the merging of man and machine. I mean, that fits with Ronnie, too, potentially.
And also, I think the new credit sequence, you know...
It's fan-made.
And Doctor Who has always been cyberpunk, although it's not really... I mean...
Really?
I think whenever they go to Victorian England, it's very much...
You mean
much
steampunk?
Steampunk, exactly.
Has
always been steampunk.
Yeah.
Has always been steampunk.
Never picked up on, an anti-capitalist, post-internet...
That opening is so steampunk.
Yes, it is.
Oh, for
it
sure.
Is.
But it's also very, but I agree with you, Doctor Who's always been, like, frock coats and pocket watches and anachronisms and police boxes
Inspector
that haven't
Space
been around.
Time.
Inspector Space Time,
and
which is a steampunk kind
right.
of thing.
I think that's why the Victorian Scooby Gang is kind of popular.
Loved them.
I like those characters
a
lot.
I like them, too. I always wish they would have their own show, because when they're on a show with Doctor Who, they either dominate or why are they there? So it's like...
Well, okay, so that first episode, Deep Breath, was a two-hour episode.
Yes, it was.
Which... Oh, I know. We went home from Fest with Bob and Brittany, and we were going to watch it. We didn't get home until 10:30, and it was like, Brittany's like, I'm going to bed. And I was like, all right, so Bob and Nick and I stay up to watch it. It's like 11:30, and we're fast-forwarding through commercials, and I go... Oh, this is a 2-hour episode, and everyone's
like a little
like,
progress bar.
Yeah,
at the bottom.
Everyone just goes, oh, well, you know, and we were all
we're
so
not gonna
tired.
Stop it and rewind.
Yeah,
but
Maggie and Mike had the same problem. They were like, we're so tired.
But they got a lot in there. I mean, it was like two episodes worth of stuff happened.
They're introducing the new Doctor character.
Yeah.
What's the lizard chick's name?
It's Mike. Jenny, Madame Vastra.
Okay. Her and Jenny, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love those two together.
Yeah.
They're adorable. And the little
Strax.
Strax.
Yeah.
The nurse.
Strax, the medic, the nurse, right?
The battle nurse.
Yeah, he is...
The Santarin.
I can...
who does not want to be a nurse.
Well, he has to be, though. He's brought shame upon his family.
Yeah.
I can totally tell why other people would get annoyed to fucking tears by him.
Yeah.
And a lot of people complain.
And by Jenny and Madame Vasco.
Sure, sure. But you know what, man? It's a kid's show.
Yeah.
And like, they didn't bother me. I took him in context. Like,
I agree with that.
I liked him.
Yeah, I like those characters, and I agree with but Molly. Like, I would like to see a spinoff series with just those three characters. I would watch it. I mean, it depends as anything with how you write it.
Sure, execution matters, but man, how many notes do they have? It's not just one, but it could be just two. And unless they expand them and everything, I mean,
well,
what if they did an episode of Doctor Who that was doctorless, that was just them?
They have done. Nearly doctorless episodes.
I would be down with that. Them getting their own episode or two once every season, or they want to do it.
In the beginning, and I don't the last couple of seasons I haven't noticed, and maybe I just missed them, but they did kind of doctorless episodes. I mean, Blink was almost completely without the doctor.
Sure, only VHS.
On the VHS, yeah. What if they did like the way they do Christmas specials? What if they did like a Madame Vastra and Jenny and Strux special?
That could be
where
cool.
it's still a Doctor Who presents or something.
The Christmas
kind of
episode's a big fucking deal though, like for Doctor Who.
Well, it wouldn't
Who,
be at Christmas.
So, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
The way they do the Christmas set specials, the like similar to that, but
fuck. So, yes. Okay, so go ahead.
So we haven't talked about Doctor Who in a while, so we haven't talked about like the 50th anniversary special, how that plays into this. I don't know. What did you guys think of that show?
The War Doctor and all that stuff, yeah. And everything. I liked it a lot.
Kurt was awesome.
I thought it was really good.
I love the War Doctor.
Yeah, yeah. I did too.
I want the Time War more than ever before.
Yes.
And the only problem is they need a movie budget to do it.
Yeah. Maybe they'll be able to get it sometime.
That'd
soon.
Be awesome. Miniseries? Little
I would love to see the Time War. And
John Hurt, do it before he dies.
Yeah. I very much enjoyed that special. My mom, who had not really watched any Doctor Who except in like very, very vague passing, got caught up with the Time of the Doctor special that they did before the new Capaldi series, which caught her up with all of the Moffat and current stuff.
Yeah,
and
more
so
or less.
Now, I mean, you know, obviously it's not going to hit everything, but it hit the important bits and hit the important, like, overarching, you know, storyline. So she has a vague understanding of who, you know, people are and what things are. So I like that they did that. I think they've been handling the marketing of it really well, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I really liked it a lot. And I liked
Curator.
The curator, that was cute.
How many nerds cried, man?
Oh my god.
Man, I finally liked Billy Piper.
Yeah, right?
seriously though, I was like,
awesome.
Wow, when she's not being Rose, she's great.
It's proof that you don't hate Rose because of the actress. You hate Rose because Rose is a fucking terrible character.
You just hate the way they wrote her. I didn't hate Rose. You don't hate Rose at first. You hate what they make Rose become, which is simpering, whimpering, sobbing, I
just
love you, I miss you.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe where some of the issue with Clara comes in that when Clara started, I just thought she was perky. She still is completely fearless, which I think is fucking awesome.
Manic pixie dream companion.
The fact that she just kind of, she's just like any badass faces her off, and she's like, "Fuck you, I don't care. I'm not scared of you."
I like I like the way she's settled into her pattern with the doctor now, because in one of the recent episodes when she's going out and he's like, "You haven't got any makeup on," and she's like, "Yes, I do," and he's like, "Oh."
Not enough then.
You know, and we're like, or should we oh, is that what I look like from the back? And he's like, yeah, sorry about that. And she's like, I was going to say it's pretty good. He's like, really? Like, he's just, I mean, he's just casually, oh, you must not have been going anywhere important. Why do you say that? Based on what you're wearing? And it's like, God. Like,
she's on her way to a date or something.
Yeah, he's just so casually, like,
he's
dismissive.
Such a casual asshole.
Yeah, and I like that. And so I like her, but I like her being able to be just like, whoop, don't care, not listening to what you
have
to say.
Like,
you're an ass, don't care. Like, yeah, she's not moping about it or being like, you're so mean. You know, she just is like, fuck this. Like, he's just,
But again, it just doesn't feel like they know what to do with her.
No.
Yeah.
Right after Doctor Who is a show called Intruders that is the first season of.
Oh, it's so
or just
good.
Just Intruders. The book was called The Intruders.
Yeah, it's just Intruders.
Amazing. Highly recommended, Tim. We'll
so
talk
good.
About it sometime.
So
but,
good.
So we saw the trailer the little sneak peek of next week's Doctor Who.
Nick did. I was in the kitchen.
Oh, right. Which, okay. So, hey guys, remember that episode of Doctor Who where it was the Titanic but in space?
Yeah.
How about the Oriental Express but in space?
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to say the one with the spiders.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that was yesterday. You were like, I don't think you're going to be able to watch this because it looks really bad.
Oh, it was... I'm not going to describe it.
I would prefer you to
it's
not.
It's Doctor Who with some spiders.
It's a lot of giant spiders is my understanding, yes.
All right, well.
In the most horrible Formale way,
yeah.
Tim. In the most horrible
Formale way. Spiders don't bother me, so I have no way
You're probably going to be fine then.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
So Doctor Who, hit and miss.
Hit and miss.
Season, I'm wondering if Moffat's going to be on the way out pretty soon.
That'd be nice. I don't want to poo-poo, but what did somebody say recently? Doctor Who cares since 2010 when Moffat took over?
Which is a damn shame because, you know, the stuff that he wrote in those first few seasons before he took over the show were some of the best episodes that were aired.
It's George Lucas without his wife, man.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, and
who's Moffat without? Was it better when when Russell Davies was driving the show?
He can't be in charge, but he can write. How about that?
I feel like it just keeps happening. It keeps being the thing where it's like, people liked that episode? Bring that monster back. People liked the Weeping Angels? Let's do another Weeping Angels episode. Like, no, but that's not why. God damn it. Like, what was scary? In that one, I don't want him back.
Lightning in a bottle, man.
More silence. Like, no, not more silence.
Lightning in a bottle.
That one
where
he's in the Pandorica or whatever, and it's like, how about every single one of your favorite monsters? Like,
yeah, that's my biggest issue. With the Daleks in this the whole new series. I mean, they set up that the Daleks are gone. They had that first episode Dalek, which was fucking amazing.
And you're like, oh my god, the Daleks are back.
Because it changed what you knew about the Daleks. It made the Dalek, that character, more than just the standard exterminate
for
Dalek.
Sure.
It also made you see how badass those motherfuckers were when he's like going against an army and just creaming the shit out of them. They don't even have a prayer.
Yeah.
So there was that made that character interesting. And then over time, it's like, well, the Doctor talks about having killed off all of the Time Lords and all of the Daleks, and it turns out he didn't kill off any fucking Daleks. There's like thousands and millions of them around.
Certainly not all the Time Lords.
We'll see.
And
he saved.
He did save Gallifrey
and the Master. And
he did save Gallifrey.
Yeah. So wait,
if
he saved Gallifrey. And the Rani was being held at Gallifrey or something like that. What if she was able to escape? Like, what if he unknowingly brought her back?
Which would be awesome. And I think one of the problems with the Russell T. Davies... And you know what? The Moffat. And there are a lot of episodes that I like. I still enjoy Doctor Who a lot. I don't think that it's a completely wasted show or anything. I think that Moffat he comes up with really cool shit that never ends up being as cool as you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
He's a great concept guy,
a good example, the way Clara's whole Impossible Girl arc went was great.
Yeah.
And when you got to where it came from, it was dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same thing with the silence, that whole arc through the season of the Impossible Astronaut and all, the Impossible Astronaut starts out so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then the way it ends, you're like, oh, is that
it's
all
it's a
Stephen was?
King book. He's so good at like the idea and the execution, and the whole book is amazing. And then the last chapter, you're like, I usually don't get disappointed, but there's a couple of them where there's a couple of Stephen King books, even for me, and I am admittedly like super fan forgiveness number one, but like there's a couple of those books where I get to the end, I'm just like, are you fucking serious?
You just needed to end it, didn't you?
Under the Dome is one of those where I'm like, really? Aliens? Like, really? Alien children.
Spoilers.
Oh, it's not what the show is going to be. The show has already gone off the rails 1,000 ways. It's not the same.
Sure.
He's come right out and said these are not the same. Just like Walking Dead and the comic and the show. But
fuck that show too, by the way.
Anyway,
Walking Dead. I don't know. We gave up.
I never got into Dead, so
Doctor Who.
What do you think about this season? What do you think of Capaldi? What do you think of the Victorian Scooby Crew.
Where do you rate Clara on a scale of Rose on a scale of Rose to Amy slash Donna?
No, I'd say on a scale of Perry to Amy slash Sarah Jane.
And, what was the... hang on.
Because you guys haven't watched the classic. Perry,
I have.
Perry, I'm sorry. Perry is the worst fucking companion.
Is he worse
ever.
Than
is
the
Perry
robot
the,
dog?
The British soldier guy?
No, Perry's the whiny American girl with a shitty American accent, and who literally all she fucking does for the entire time she's on the series is whine.
Because my favorite companion of all time is Ace, so...
No, this is not Ace. Perry's a Sixth Doctor companion, and okay. She's also, I think Turlo is part of the Sixth Doctor. Turlo is awful.
What the Doctor needs is a companion who's like a demolitions expert and pyromaniac who likes to just like make her homemade explosives and blow things up, and that's her solution to everything. Like, you know, when your only weapon's a hammer, all you see are nails. Like, when all you do is make explosives, all you do is blow things up.
Yeah,
like,
but,
yeah,
but she was still cool.
Right.
Ace was cool.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, but Perry, like, seriously, Molly, you have no idea how much worse than Rose Perry
I will have
is.
To go Google some Perry videos.
Oh, it's so bad. She was so awful.
All right. But, let us know what you thought of Doctor Who, the Capaldi, the new season 8, series 8 stuff. And let's get on to 5 answers from a listener.
5 answers from a listener.
Hooray!
We have Carrie Hanselman.
Carrie
Hanselman, and she wrote in, just so you know, she wrote back in March.
Hey,
so
March.
I'm going to read her whole intro thing. You are the first podcast I'm writing into. I have a boring job. I listen to podcasts all night. With some, there's a strange feeling that I get. It's almost like I know the show hosts. Weird, I know, but you are one of them. Maybe because my sister and brother-in-law know Tim.
Oh.
Or is it just because you all don't hold back and make us listeners comfortable with you all?
Oh.
Aw. Anyway, the one that made me decide to write was about a month ago, and you were talking about people who were lost and the searchers that found them. I'm a volunteer searcher. I'm on a K-9 SAR team just next door in Wisconsin. Huh. It is usually God who gets thanks when it is a dog that finds their loved one. Not us searchers.
Well, it's just dyslexia then.
Come on, man.
Not us searchers who have volunteered our time and money training our dogs to do it, or all the law enforcement who set up a search. But then again, God spelled backwards as dog.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
Sorry, I made your joke for you.
Yeah. Sorry, Carrie.
What
Tim stepped
an asshole.
In
We're sorry about that.
All Jeez, right, so Tim. Here's my answers.
Question number one, what is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Charlie Hunnam shirtless always is good. I like to read this two ways. Charlie Hunnam shirtless always is good, and Charlie Hunnam shirtless always is good.
Hey.
But I also just liked the movie. It was action almost the whole time.
I feel the same way about Charlie Day, so...
Yeah, right?
And I realized, building robots that punch giant monsters does not make any sense, and still it's fucking awesome.
You know, the sequel is confirmed.
Yes.
Nice.
Now
sequel
so,
is confirmed.
I think what did they say, summer 2016 or 17?
Yeah, and I hope awesome. It's just more robots punching monsters.
Well, the formula was a formula for gold. Why fuck with it?
Yeah.
Don't screw with it, man. Robots punching monsters. Boom.
Robots punching monsters. They might as well just call it Robots Punching Monsters, Pacific Rim 2.
It would have been a better way to sell the movie. If the movie name had been Robots Punching Monsters, they would have sold way more tickets.
That's actually the bad Chinese bootleg translation.
But then they couldn't have the porn parody Pacific Rim job.
Oh,
so,
that's
true. Come on.
Yeah.
All right, question number two. Who is your favorite atheist character?
I don't know if it was ever said he was atheist, but Dennis Reynolds from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia would be my favorite, mostly because I love that show.
So, I don't know if he's atheist, but I want him to be atheist. That's
okay,
right.
He's such a narcissist that I can't imagine he believes in a god because of how narcissistic and sociopathic he is.
He's a soulless sociopath.
He is... what's the Dennis system?
He comes up with a system to make women automatically need and fall in love with you, and it's like... It's a system based on his name. So it's the Dennis system, D-E-N-N-I-S. And the first D is demonstrate value. And it's like, so whatever girl you want, like you do things like, I don't know, like you bring her a home-baked, you know, casserole, or maybe like you show up when she needs a ride home. And then the next one is, it's like E.
Oh, it's okay. It's demonstrate value.
Yeah.
Engage physically.
Yeah, engage physically. Try to make out with her. Like
nurture
like,
dependence.
So then you try to get her to really want to need you all the time.
And then this stupid
and then,
fucking ad popped up.
The other
and
N is neglect. And then the I is ignore, and then the S is like disappear forever or like stay away forever kind of a thing. And it's like a guaranteed way to make a woman call you forever.
So
I think I got it right.
And be available in the future
Yeah.
All right.
So. Yeah, it's super like brainwashy.
Yeah.
Like it separate entirely. Yeah. It involves brainwashing a woman into needing you and then like
calling her
and like making death threats and shit out pretending to be someone else so that she'll retreat back to you to need your help.
Oh, wow.
So that you can like continue to sleep with her. It's really super fucked up.
Asshole. Oh yeah.
Okay, people argue about which one on It's Always Sunny is like the worst one because they're all just terrible. And in my opinion, Dennis is the worst of them because all the others are bad because they're stupid. He's bad because he's like selfish and hates everyone else. Like he's just the most despicable character.
He and his twin sister are horrible people.
They are ridiculously awful. It's great. It's fun.
All right. Question number three. After going through that, what is your geekiest hobby?
I volunteer on a canine search and rescue team. I don't know how geeky it really is, but I spend a lot of my free time doing it. I also stamp cards and quilt. Those are all pretty geeky.
Yeah.
They're all pretty geeky.
I've been volunteering for it. It's
like
awesome.
The canine search and rescue. It's like geocaching, but for missing people.
With a lot lower success rates.
So. Question number four.
I'm sorry, listeners. That was terrible.
Question number four. What is your favorite sandwich?
My favorite sandwich is a BLT. I like brown berry 12-grain bread, lightly toasted, spinach instead of lettuce, tomatoes fresh from my garden, and the bacon must be from Deer's Food Locker in Deer Park, Wisconsin. I also use peanut butter instead of mayo.
Wow.
I can't wait until summer for fresh veggies. So 12-grain bread, toasted, spinach, fresh tomatoes, Deer's Food Locker bacon, and peanut butter. That sounds kind of amazing to me.
That's one hell of a sandwich.
Peanut butter and toasted bread, kind of, you can't go wrong.
Right, like, and then the bacon with the tomato. Because then the
bacon and butter gets a little runny.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That sounds dynamite.
Yeah, that sounds really yummy.
I'd eat that. All right. Question number five. What is the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism?
I am still mostly closeted, so I don't tell many people. But last summer, a JW came knocking while I had family here. I said, I am atheist, and while I am sure you are nice people, I would rather spend time visiting with my family as this is my only life to do so. I don't remember exactly what she said, but the look on her face was absolute shock. The town I live in has just over 1,000 people and 10 churches. I may be the first atheist she had ever met.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, and that's not unusual. Just that statistic right there.
Yeah.
1,000 people, 10 churches. That's church for every 100 people in that town.
We used to go to the Ozarks when I was a kid. My mom had some childhood friends that, some hippies that moved down there and ran like canoe resort commune type thing. And so we went down there a few summers for a cheap vacation and driving through some parts of Arkansas.
Oh.
Every block it was liquor store, church, pawn shop. Liquor store, church, pawn shop.
Because you can buy guns at pawn liquor shops.
Yep. No. Absolutely.
Yep.
And it was just... It was so fucking depressing that it's like, I don't understand how you don't see the cycle that's occurring here.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, a liquor store to moderation, that's fine.
Sure.
A church to moderation, maybe, if that's your bag, I guess. I mean, not for me. And then a pawn shop, it's like for when you're desperate and you need the money.
Yeah.
It's like maybe if you weren't giving your money to the church.
Or spending it on alcohol. You would need to pawn things.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It bothers me how much space is taken up by religion in our lives. I mean, my house, I don't know, you guys talk about the churchstrosity right by your house where you got to vote, but my house, I mean, I'm across the street from my house is a church.
Yeah.
You go down four houses and then across the next street.
Yep.
There are two churches. It's a different flavor church.
It's a different flavor of church. And there's about four blocks another direction.
Oh, yeah.
There's another church. And they're just everywhere.
At least, I mean, you're in St. Paul, so at least your churches like either are old and have some history. Like, there's some...
Sure.
There's a few beautiful buildings.
There are a lot of churches that have beautiful, beautiful interiors. I will absolutely get that.
But
and
like,
exteriors.
I'll take... a small community church or even four. Well, it's not a competition. I'm not trying to make it a competition. I'm just saying, like, I would take, like, four small community churches spread out over, like, 2 square miles over, like, one churchstrosity.
Yeah.
Because, like, It's such a fucking gross use of money.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, I agree. Having rent been there, alone. When we
fucking tax
recorded
that
with
not paying property taxes
a couple of weeks ago when we recorded with Ron and I want to say Winter Monk because that's Tony. His online name Tony. They drove me to you guys' house and we drove past the church shop.
Yeah,
and I'm like, hey guys, check that out. And they were like, holy shit, that thing's huge. I'm like, yeah, man, you know, we tried to explain it, but you can't get the feeling of how big that thing is until you just see it.
Even when you go
inside, the building itself is bigger than an entire baseball field.
It's like a TARDIS. Yeah. When you go inside, you realize like just how big it is because you can't appreciate it because there's not a way to see the whole building from one side.
We don't have to we don't have to vote there. Well, okay.
Yeah, we did absentee balloting.
This year in Minnesota, you can do absentee ballot voting for any or no reason.
Yep.
So we both did absentee voting this year, so we don't have to step foot in the church trust.
Nice.
Vote.
See, I vote in a middle school, so it's all okay.
Plus, then you get to use tiny urinals. I mean, who wants to pass up the opportunity?
They make them feel normal.
It's great.
Because you get to bend the knees, really challenge yourself to get down there.
Like our friend Christian said, it's always funny when I walk into a bathroom and there's like four guys will stand there and wait rather than using the one lower like children's urinal in a bathroom.
It's like, is your aim that bad?
And Christian always goes up and uses it anyway, like despite them, and he'd be like, it's not for someone that has a child-sized dick, you guys. It's extra low. It's the urinal for the well-hung.
I don't understand why you guys just don't go use toilets like you would in, I don't know, any house in America.
Those would have been full as well.
Oh, I see. Instance. Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, thank you so much, Carrie.
Yeah, thanks, Carrie.
Those are good answers.
We totally got off on a tangent.
Send us some answers to questions, guys. We need some
dick
more.
A dick tangent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get off on dick tangents. Dick tangent.
Private eye.
Yeah.
We have, so that was March, right?
That's
March. We're like 7 months behind.
Yeah, 6 months, yeah. So.
Yeah.
We're going to catch up. We're going to have some more host-only episodes. We had a lot of guests in the last
month. We got two answers in this past week sent to some people.
Yeah, so keep it up.
So keep it up. We will get to them. And send your answers to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We say funny and witty things there sometimes.
Yeah.
And if you have a moment, leave us a rating on iTunes. We're looking into getting our podcast up on
Stitcher
soon.
By request.
By request. Potentially, we're kind of looking into it and exploring that right now. Otherwise, we're Geeks Without God, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks without God.
Fishnet water.
Fishnet water.
Fishnet water.